Vandeham Shigra Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigram Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sabadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakanjitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakan Shinagorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishubhanu Siddha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavita Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Momaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranijananda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya First reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Narada's Teachings of Vasudev, text number 51. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Etat, Etat Shudva Mahabhago, Vasudevo Ti Vishmita. Devakita Mahabhaga Jahatura Moham Atmanaha Shri Shukuvacha Etat Shudva Mahabhago Vasudevo Ti Vishmita Devakita Mahabhaga Jahatura Moham Atmanaha. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Etat, this, Shrutva, having heard, Mahabhaga,
Mahabhaga,
the greatly fortunate,
Vasudeva,
King Vasudev, Ati Vishmita, extremely amazed, Devaki, Mother Devaki, Cha, and Mahabhaga, the greatly fortunate, Jahatu, they both gave up. Moham, the confusion. Atmanaha, their own. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, having heard this narration, the greatly fortunate Vasudev was completely struck with wonder, thus he and his most beloved wife, Devaki, gave up all illusion and anxiety that had entered their hearts. Text 52. Anyone who meditates on this pious historical narration with fixed attention will purify himself of all contamination in this very life, thus achieve the highest spiritual perfection. Thus end the purpose of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada Concludes His Teachings to Vasudeva. Chapter 6. The Yadu Dynasty Retires to Prabhasa. This chapter describes how Brahma and other demigods, after offering prayers to Lord Sri Krishna, requested the Lord to return to his own abode, and how Uddhava, anticipating separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was very distressed and prayed to Sri Krishna that he might accompany him on his return to that abode. Desiring to see Sri Krishna in his human-like form, which enchants all the worlds, the Gandharvas, Apsaras, Nagas, Rishis, Pitas, Vidyadharas, Kinaras, and other demigods, all headed by Brahma, Shiva, and Indra, arrived at the city of Dwarka, covering the body of Krishna with flower garlands from the Nandana gardens of heaven. They praised him with statements about his transcendental power and qualities. All living entities, beginning with Brahma, are subordinate to Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna creates the universe by empowering his expansion, Mahavishnu. Although Krishna creates, maintains, and destroys this world through his material energy, he remains transcendental to the material energy and perfectly well situated, satisfied. Even in the midst of his 16,000 queens, Lord Krishna is undisturbed. Performers of fruitful sacrifices and yogis desiring mystic power contemplate the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna to attain their materialistic objectives. For the most elevated devotees who desire liberation from the bondage of material work, lovingly contemplate the Lord's lotus-like feet, because those feet are the fire that destroy all desires for sense gratification. One cannot actually purify the mind by ordinary worship, penance, and other processes. One can purify the mind contaminated by sense gratification only through the mature faith in the mode of goodness which arises by hearing the glories of Krishna. Therefore, intelligent persons situated in the Vanashram system serve the two kinds of holy places, the nectarian rivers of the topics of Krishna, and the nectarian rivers flowing from the Lord's lotus feet. By incarnating within the Yadu dynasty, Krishna performed the highest welfare work for the entire universe by displaying his transcendental pastimes. Simply by hearing and chanting about these pastimes, pious persons in Kali Yuga can definitely cross over the ocean material illusion. When the Lord had fulfilled the purpose of his descent and the Yadu dynasty was facing imminent destruction from the Brahmana's curse, the Lord desired to wind up his pastimes. When Brahma prayed to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna for the deliverance of himself and all the other demigods, Sri Krishna revealed in his reply that after the destruction of the Yadu dynasty, he would return to his own abode. Observing terrible disturbances indicating the imminent destruction of the world, Lord Krishna called together the wise members of the Yadu dynasty and reminded them of the Brahmana's curse. The Lord convinced them to go to Prabhasa Tirtha, where they could save themselves by the performance of ritual bathing, charity, and so on. The Yadus, in obedience to Krishna's desire, prepared to journey to Prabhasa. On seeing and hearing the Lord's conversation with the Yadu dynasty, Uddhava approached Lord Sri Krishna in a secluded place, offered him full obeisances, and with folded hands expressed his inability to tolerate separation from the Lord. He begged Krishna to carry him to his own abode. If one tastes the nectar of Krishna's pastimes with his ears, one loses all hankering for other things. Persons who engage constantly in Krishna's service while eating, sporting, sleeping, sitting, etc., cannot tolerate separation from Krishna. They honor all kinds of remnants from Sri Krishna and thus conquer the Lord's illusory energy. Peaceful members of the renounced order attain Brahmaloka after exhaustive and painful exertion, whereas the devotees of the Lord simply discuss Lord Krishna among themselves, chant and remember his various pastimes and instructions, and thus automatically cross beyond the insurmountable material energy. Text 1. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Lord Brahma then set off for Dwarka, accompanied by his own sons, as well as by the demigods and the great Prajapatis. Lord Shiva, the bestower of auspiciousness to all living beings, also went, surrounded by many ghostly creatures. The powerful Lord Indra, along with the Maruts, Adityas, Vasus, Ashvinis, Ribhus, Angiras, Rudras, Vishvadevas, Sadhyas, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Nagas, Siddhas, Charnas, Huyakas, and the great sages and forefathers, and the Vidyadharas and Kanaras, arrived at the city of Dwarka, hoping to see Lord Sri Krishna. By his transcendental form, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, enchanted all human beings and spread his own fame throughout the world. The Lord's glories destroy all contamination within the universe. Purport. Personality of Godhead descends within the material world to assist the demigods in the cosmic management. Thus the demigods can normally see such forms of the Lord as Upendra. Over here it is indicated that although accustomed to seeing various Vishnu expansions of the Lord, the demigods are specifically eager to see the most beautiful form of the Lord as Krishna. Deha dehi vivagas cha nishvare vidite kvachit. There is no distinction between the Supreme Lord and his personal body. The jiva's soul is different from his body, but the beautiful transcendental form of the Lord is identical with the Lord in all respects. Translation. In that resplendent city of Dwarka, rich with all superior opulences, the demigods beheld with unsatiated eyes the wonderful form of Sri Krishna. The demigods covered the Supreme Lord of the universe with flower garlands brought from the gardens of heaven. Then they praised him, the best of the Yadu dynasty, with statements containing charming words and ideas. The demigods began to speak, Our dear Lord, advanced mystic yogis striving for liberation from the severe bondage of material work, meditate with great devotion upon your lotus feet within our hearts, dedicating our intelligence, senses, vital air, mind and power of speech to your lordship. We demigods bow down at your lotus feet. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the word sma in this verse indicates vishmaya, astonishment. The demigods were astonished that although great mystic yogis were only able to contemplate the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts, the demigods arriving in the city of Dwarka were able to see before them the entire body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the powerful demigods fell down like sticks before the Lord. Such full obeisances called dandavat, like a stick, are described as follows. Dorbhyam padabhyam janubhyam urasa shirasa drisha manasa vachasa cheti pranamno stanga irita. The obeisance is offered with eight limbs, or made with the two arms, the two legs, the two knees, the chest, the head, the eyes, the mind, and the power of speech. The currents of material nature are very powerful, and one should therefore cling tightly to the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, the violent waves of sense gratification and mental speculation will undoubtedly sweep one away from one's eternal constitutional position as the loving servant of the Supreme Lord, and one will then fall down into the stringent bondage described here as Urupasha, a very powerful illusory network. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vircharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Sitarna. This particular verse mentions that the demigods were astonished by seeing the personal form of Krishna. So this astonishment, adbhuta, this is more or less preliminary for any kind of rasa. Unless we're amazed at something, then where is there any question of transcendental rasa? If Krishna, we see Krishna, the deity in the temple, and we think, oh, there's a nice doll. They put nice clothes on these dolls, or there is Krishna. He looks like one of the dolls I had when I was younger. Then, where is there any question of astonishment? In other words, we're seeing things as if they're completely ordinary. Not only Krishna, but even the devotees. Unless we have some attitude of astonishment, which we can say begins with reverence, then where is there any question of devotion? If everyone is ordinary to us, and the only one who's extraordinary is ourselves, there won't be much of a relationship with others, at least not a spiritual relationship. Obviously the snake sees all the frogs more or less on an equal level. The snake is not amazed at the frogs, he wants to eat the frogs. And they all, more or less, he judges the frogs according to how they'll taste, how he thinks they'll taste. Similarly, if we don't see things from the spiritual platform, then obviously we're going to wonder how everyone tastes in my relationship. What kind of taste I'm going to get out of my relationship with others. In other words, how people will serve my sense gratification. If we don't are relating to people on a spiritual platform, then we have to relate to them on the material platform. At least, well, in the mode of goodness, we should say in the mode of ignorance, then we look at everyone as how, if we ate them, how they taste. And in the mode of passion, we think about how, if we manipulate everyone, what can they do from it? And in the mode of goodness, we regulate our relations with others, and we try to become dutiful. Our relationship to others becomes that of an instrument for a higher authority, rather than simply either how we can taste people. Tasting means not only to physically eat them, because there's eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. In other words, sex life and how they can supply different types of activities for my sense gratification. And mode of passion, how they can satisfy my subtle desires such as profit, adoration, distinction. And only in goodness we begin to become an instrument for higher powers. We do things dutifully, not so much what we're going to get from them, but because that's what Krishna wants us to do with his body, his mind, and his works. And therefore we become an instrument in the mode of goodness. And spiritual, then we know actually who people are and how to engage them in Krishna's service. At least, if we want to make some progress, we have to get out of ignorance and passion. We have to get out of this idea that others are simply here for my sense gratification, or either gross or subtle, and we have to become dutiful and learn what our duty is. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, He says a lot of things, actually. We have to learn what he says, otherwise, well, how can a servant know what the master wants if he can't remember what he says? The master says, go get me, you know, 3 bags of potato chips and 3 loaves of bread and 3 bottles of water, etc. And you walk out the door and you think, what did he just say? Oh no, it doesn't really matter. I'm just a servant. Whatever he wants me to do, I'm sure to do. I think I'll take rest for him. No, we want to become a servant. We have to find out what the master wants and then do it. If we can't remember what he wants, then we have to write it down. Obviously, we have to write these things down, and then we have to read what we wrote down. Not that I wrote it down and I did my duty, then I can just, you know, put it where I will never look at it again. But at least I wrote it down. So whatever he asks me to do, eventually I might get to, either in this life or the next. So we have to somehow or another find out what Krishna wants. For instance, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam Sochamarjava Brahmacharyam Ahimsam Sha Shariram Tapa Uchite. That in the mode of goodness, we utilize the body by Deva Dvija Guru Pragya, by serving or being respectful to the Devas. The principal Deva, of course, is Krishna. And Dvija, the twice born, the Brahmins, and the learned persons. Deva, Dvija, Praga. Deva, Dvija, what's that? Deva, Dvija, Guru Pragya. To the spiritual master and the learned persons. So we offer them some respect. Deva, Dvija, Guru Pragya, Pujana. We offer them some worship. Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam Socham, and we become clean. Clean in mind, clean in body. We strive towards purification. That the body is not meant for sense gratification, it's meant for purification. So that's called austerity. So there's worship or sacrifice to the certain persons, just like we know charity is given to certain personalities, like the Brahmins and the sannyasis. And therefore we worship persons who are higher than us, and we also try to become purified. Socham, Pujanam Socham Arjavam. And our lives are supposed to become simply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Simple. Not that the more we make things complicated in the material world, then we imagine we're making progress. If we have to work 20 hours to get a piece of bread rather than 5, we think that's progress. And then we invent some philosophy. Well, the bread will taste better if we work 20 hours for it than if we work 5. We're making progress. Besides that, by working 20 hours, we got the bread scientifically. Otherwise, these primitive people, they did it in 5 by some kind of archaic methodology. Pujam, Sojam, Arjuna, Brahmacharyam, Ahimsam Cha, that one has become Brahmacharya, serving, surrendered to the internal energy of Krishna, to the spiritual energy, and therefore giving up all kinds of sense gratification and nonviolent. Not that we look at everyone as a possible victim of our sense gratification. One should see everyone as an opportunity of service to bring them to Krishna consciousness. So that's for the body. That we have to see whether my body is actually engaged in Krishna service or whether my body is doing something else. I mean, the body should be pretty obvious what the body is doing. It's not that you have to be an atomic scientist to figure out whether your body is engaged in Krishna's service, or you have to go to a psychiatrist, is my body engaged in Krishna's service, is it not? just by understanding the philosophy, by remembering it, then we can see what is Krishna service and whether I'm actually engaged in it. And then Krishna says, Anuvegam karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat swadhyaya vyasanam chayva vangmanatap uchite. That there is austerity for speech. It's not that my body is engaged in Krishna's service, and therefore my life is perfect. It doesn't matter what I do. As Prabhupada said, he had his bees and he was chanting his rounds, and finally he pulled down the 16th counter bee, and he threw his beads on the desk. Something like that. He said, now I've chanted all my rounds. Now I can do any damn thing I want. No, we have to also check other things like anu vegam karam vakyam. We should see that our speech, to the greatest degree as possible, doesn't agitate people's minds. That if it's not our service, it's not our duty to instruct someone. And if by instructing them we'll simply agitate their minds, then what is the value of that? Of course, if it's our duty to instruct someone and we don't do it, then what is the value of taking such a duty if you can't fulfill it? Guru Pragya Pita Nasyasya Swajano Nasyasya Namoshya Yaksamupetu Mrityum Daivam Guru Na Guru nasyasya, svajanam nasyasya. That one should not become a guru or a spiritual master, one should not become a father or a mother or a relative or a worshipful demigod, unless one is prepared to deliver the person from birth and death. So it is not that we become so cautious that someone's about to walk over a cliff and we say, well, I don't want to shout too loudly, because I don't want to disturb their mind on the way down. So, on the other hand, someone we know, simply if I tell them something, all they'll do is get angry. Then what is the value of getting them angry, uselessly? Anavegam karam vakyam satyam, and we should tell the truth. Not that we always say things according to what people want to hear, so that people are always love me. Oh, he's such a nice person. He loves everyone. He doesn't tell them the truth. He himself is going to, who knows where he's going, but everyone likes him because he never tells the truth. And satyam priya. And even we tell the truth, but it should also be pleasing. It's not that finally I see something that's true about this person and now I can tell them exactly the way I feel. You rascal, the lowest of mankind, most abominable of all the species. Now let me tell you the truth about yourself. No, it should also be pleasing. And hitam, beneficial. It should actually have some merit to help the person make some progress. Not that we just say, because my tongue wants to vibrate, and therefore I have some truth to tell everyone, and I say it in a pleasing way, but it has no benefit for anyone. Like discussing where the jiva came from. And at the end, we just wasted our time, because wherever the jiva came from, he's still going to stay in the material world. And then satyam priyahitam chayat swadayam. And it should be according to the Vedas. It should be according to some spiritual authority. Not that I make up my truth and I make it very pleasing and I think it's beneficial, but it has no relationship to the Vedas. Therefore, to say something requires some thought. It is not that everything we say, because we're saying it, has some special value. We have to find out what Krishna wants us to say it, what Krishna wants us to say, and how to say it. What is the mood? What is the method? What are the words? When is the proper time, place, and audience? It requires a lot of thought. And then, therefore, Krishna goes on over, Manat Prasadam Somyatvam Stirim Atma Vinigraha Bhava Samshadi Ityetat Tapo Manasam Uchitet. That there's a quality in the mind also, Manat Prasada. The mind should be satisfied. If I'm not satisfied, then what kind of relationship I'm going to have with everyone else? My relationship will be either to complain, make other people unsatisfied like I am. Wow, this person looks too happy, let me go and get them. Bring them into the same mood I am. Or we'll try and utilize others for our sense gratification to get so-called satisfaction. So if our mind's not satisfied, our words will be tinged with that dissatisfaction. At the same time, our activities will be not in line with the actual purpose of life. Manat prasadam somyatvam, and the mind has to be balanced. If my mind is always going from heaven to hell all the time, what kind of instructions am I going to be able to give anyone else? Come with me. I go to heaven and hell. Let me take you in for a tour. Stirium, and it has to be fixed, determined. Not that anything comes along and it deviates me from my purpose. Manat prasadam somyatvam stirim atma vinigraha. And the mind has to be enlivened. Manat prasadam somyatvam atma mono. And it has to be grave. Not that life is simply one big fun for me. And therefore I go, everyone is part of my enjoyment. No, we have to be grave or else we won't think very carefully what Krishna wants us to do. We get too carried away by our own happiness. And then we forget all about what we're supposed to do, namely to make Krishna happy and become a servant of Krishna and his devotees. Then we just get carried away by our own enthusiasm. Utsahamayi, puffed up with our own enthusiasm. Monam Atma Vinigraha Bhava Samshudir, and the mind should become purified. Our goal is to purify the mind by coming in contact with Krishna. That the mind, as it says here, it won't become purified by any other means. It is not that there's some other way of purifying myself. There may be something, ways of temporarily balancing my imbalances in material life, but that's just temporary. It may be helpful to do that if I focus my mind on the purification of especially chanting the holy names. Monam Atma Vinigraha Bhava Samshuddhi Ityetat Tapo Manasam Uchite. So this is the austerity of the mind. So unless we strive to make the mind purified, our words purified, our activities purified, then we'll always be in danger of being swept away by the modes of material nature. Yatpara pankaja palasa vilasya bhaktya. Yatpara pankaja palasa vilasya bhaktya. Next word. Krina. Yatpara pankaja palasa vilasya bhaktya. Maya. Do you have a Bhagavad Gita? Do you have a Bhagavad Gita here? There it is. I got it. Yet karma shayam grahitam udrakayanti shanta tavan narikta matiyo yatayo Ruda Sutoganas Tadarunam Bhajavasudeva. And here's the translation here. Just try to worship in devotional service Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even great sages are not able to control the forces of the senses as effectively as those engaged in transcendental bliss by serving the lotus feet of the Lord, uprooting the deep-grown desire for fruit of activities. So if we think we have some problems, and we probably do, it's probably an accurate assessment of our situation, then what's the method? The method is hearing, chanting, and eventually, by remembering Krishna, being able to get his association. Because in the association of Krishna, when we're able to associate with him in transcendental consciousness, then all our real problems go away, namely our coverings in material modes of nature. When the modes of material nature go away, and we're enlivened and enlightened to perform devotional service, then we're engaged in something positive. And in that realm, there are no material problems. The only problem is how to please Krishna, which is really not a problem. Otherwise, how to please this material body, mind and senses, false ego, is always going to be a problem. No matter how nicely or expert we become in so-called solving these problems, it's always going to be a problem. There is no solution to the problems of the false ego. There is no, even when we become Brahma of many universes, still we'll have a problem. It won't be enough. There'll be another Brahma. He has 5 more universes than we do. And we'll get envious. Why he has 5 more universes than I do. On the other hand, if we become an insignificant servant of Krishna and realize how wonderful everyone is, then everyone is the source of pleasure and our rendering service becomes our nature, and then there's no problem because there's a lot of service to do. If we serve Krishna, all the service becomes blissful and enlivening and enlightening. And if we serve our false ego, it's simply karshiti, simply one struggle after another. Therefore, even the great those who have taken to the process of devotional service come in contact with Krishna, can feel his presence in every step of life, then the hard knot of material affection is slashed. On the other hand, by the other processes, although they may be valid, such as meditation and yoga, even when one becomes very advanced in those processes, even a little agitation from the mind can drag one back into the material existence, onto the material platform of consciousness. Therefore, the conclusion is, let us try and worship Vasudeva, Krishna. If it's good enough for the demigod, it's good enough for us. So thank you. Any questions? Yes.
If you have fully surrendered to Krishna, and if you are following the instructions of Krishna Master, should we still consider the safety of our body?
It's not your body, it's Krishna's body.
That's right.
Yeah, so we have to consider how do you like, just like if Krishna gives you a car to drive around the block, do you consider whether you should drive it on the road or into other cars or go through the stoplight? Because after all, it's not your car. What do you worry about? It's Krishna, it's only Krishna's car. He has a lot of cars. Still, you have to worry about it. Anything else? Yes.
Why does the society of the present age, we see, is getting addicted in day by day? Like yesterday, I read in the newspaper that people, instead of taking Viagra, are starting to eat the genitals of bulls to get sexually strong. So, how much is the And also I read that a couple of boys, teenagers, they eat their friend and they said they were hungry. They cut the pieces of the girl and eat them.
And ate her.
Yes.
Ate her. Yeah. So Tatashtanudinam Satyam. Tanashtanudinam Dharma Satyam Shocham Dayashama Kalena Balina Raja, Nakshantya Yorbalam Smriti. Day after day in Kali Yuga, people will give up Dharma. And all good Tatastanudinam Dharma, Satvam, truthfulness, Socham, cleanliness, Dayam, mercy, and Shama, forgiveness, as well as bodily strength, as well as memory, as well as longevity. Day after day, these things will all diminish in Kali Yuga. Therefore, we better become serious about chanting Hare Krishna, so that we don't have to see the glorious end of Kali Yuga. If you want to see the pages of the Bhagavatam, you know, the whole 12 cantos, I can't miss the 12 cantos, the end. You know, it sounds pretty exciting. Well, it may be more than you bargained for if we stick around here too long. It's not. Although we say in Kali Yuga there's a golden age, and it'll get better, but the golden age is by purely chanting the holy names. So we should bring the golden age as quickly as possible and try to get out of Kali Yuga as quickly as possible, at least for ourselves. And those who want to have the virtual reality of Kali Yuga, experience what that's like, because it's a taste, being a little pygmy, you know, 1 meter high, running around eating the other little pygmies. It's quite a, you know, it may be a rather unique experience that you can't get in any other yoga. Some people look, you know, wow, let's try this out. Maybe this will bring me happiness. When you can have, it says that ladies will have children when they're 5 years old. So, people are thinking, well, this is another thing I haven't experienced. I've been around here since Satya Yuga, and let's see what this is like. Let's go through Kali Yuga and see what it's like. Well, better to get out of Kali Yuga, go back by taking advantage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, learning how to chant purely the holy names of Krishna, and therefore come into the spiritual realm even in the midst of Kali Yuga. That is the golden age, where people actually learn how to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly. Then the golden age becomes manifested. Never mind that even in the midst of the golden age, there'll be some people doing all kinds of things because that's what they want. Krishna is giving them their opportunity. Anything else? So it's nice being here. We hope everyone comes regularly to hear these philosophy of Krishna consciousness and becomes enlivened to perform especially those five powerful processes of devotional service, chanting the holy names, worshipping the deities, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees, and also making the atmosphere spiritual, not only in our home or in the temple, but also try to make the society's atmosphere as spiritual as possible by preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because everyone is Krishna's servant. There are many innocent people, they've simply forgotten that. And we've given them the highest gift. We're giving them Krishna himself through the holy names. And through the philosophy, people can actually learn how to take advantage of the holy name in this age and solve all their factual problems. Not the ones that they're inventing, which are useless to solve. So it's nice being here. I look forward to come back again. Thank you for your association. Grantharai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.